Hello, hello everyone. Good morning, good evening and good afternoon and welcome to a brand new episode of the Verimed Stories podcast. And I am your host, Francesca Pinillo. So in this week's episode, we are going to be talking about a lot of charitable work, but more specifically, we're going to hear from Bree and all the amazing initiatives that she's taken part of and what we can do at Verimed. So Bree joined us last year. Yeah, you said it was spring 2022?
Yes, in May, actually. May 16th.
Oh, very precise. Yes. So yeah, Bree joined us last year and she is our business development manager and is also based in the US, if you can't tell from her beautiful accent. So welcome, Bree. How are you doing today?
I am well. The sun is shining. It is trying to think what it would be in Celsius, but it is 75 degrees and beautiful. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. I mean, I can't say the same for the weather, like in Glasgow. It's bucketing down with rain. So like we couldn't be, you know, any more opposite right now. Yeah.
Oh my God. Is it cold there?
It's funny, like when you're outside, it's not too cold, but it is getting dark in the mornings and it's getting dark at night already. And we're like literally just into August. So it's all downhill from here, to be honest.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I feel like fall is our favorite season here in the US. Beautiful weather, all the pumpkins. So,
oh no, yeah. I love autumn. Like I can't wait for a pumpkin spice latte. I already have my pumpkin Starbucks mug that I'm using for my coffee. So like I'm all for the love fall. It. But it is ever so slightly depressing when, you know, it starts getting dark and things.
Yes. No, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, as I said, Bree has done a phenomenal amount of charitable work over the years. Like, it really is incredible what she's done. And I'm honestly so inspired by everything that she's accomplished. She's worked with a lot of athletes, done a lot of sports initiatives, conducted lots of fundraisers. There's honestly just so much, and we're going to touch on that in the podcast today. But first of all, I think it'd be great for our listeners to hear about the Greater Than Me organization. So tell us, Bree, what is it? How did it start? How did you get the athletes involved? And obviously being able to work with the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I started Greater Than Me organization, and the main purpose of the organization is to partner professional athletes with philanthropic initiatives in the city that they play in or the city that they live in. So I really wanted to help them use their platform to cultivate change and make a difference in their community. And I recognize that a lot of athletes do already have their own foundations. So sometimes I will help them with their foundation, help them fundraise for it, or just bring awareness to what they're doing through their own foundation. But with the athletes that don't have their foundations, I love to be able to partner them with nonprofits in the city and just help them give back. So basically, the whole idea for the nonprofit was the product of me being probably unnaturally obsessed with sports.
And I feel you on that.
I know I talk a lot about football, American football, with the UK team, but I also really like serving and being involved in different volunteering efforts. So I wanted to figure out a way to combine both sports and service and giving back. So I created this nonprofit, and I've been working in the NFL for the last 10 years, more as a hobby. You know, during game days, I'll work different in the public relations department for the Philly team. And then when I lived in New York, I worked for one of their football teams. So I already had a network of people that I could reach out to and connections that I could ask their ideas of the nonprofit. And one of the coaches for the team that I work for here in Philly, he was really able to help mentor me and get this idea off of the ground, which was how I was able to then start to get in contact with some of the athletes, not just current athletes, but former athletes, retired athletes, And he was really, really crucial, especially the first year, helping me get that started. So that's sort of how it came about. I'd been trying to, years prior to when I started this, I was trying to figure out a way to involve sports with serving. And there were a few things that I was doing, but I wanted to create my own thing. And I couldn't find anything that was doing what I was wanting to do. So yeah. That's why I created Greater Than Me.
Yeah, no, it's honestly just, it's so, so, so cool. And obviously such an amazing, amazing initiative that, as you said, like, if you can't find it elsewhere, just do it yourself, right?
Just do it.
Yeah, right, just do exactly. It for sure.
Super easy. Yeah.
I'm sure there was like a lot of hard work that went into that.
Oh yeah. It was because obviously I have a full-time job. And the job that I was working at that time, I loved what I was doing. So it felt like I would work my full day and then come home and then work another 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, that's tough.
But I don't know, when you, it's so cliche, but when you really love what you're doing, it just doesn't feel like work. I knew that there was going to be a reason and a purpose why I was doing this. And when it came into inception, it was just so rewarding, all of that work that I put into it. And it's still work. You know, I do a lot of stuff with it on the weekends, but it's something that I think is important. And I think a lot of athletes come into the league and they might not have a lot of connections with philanthropic initiatives. And I really want to help them learn that they have an identity outside of just their sport and they can use that platform for good. So, yeah, it's really
as
cool.
You said, like, it's a true passion for you, isn't it? So even though you're maybe like doing extra hours in the day, because you're so passionate about it, it's not work in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I just have always loved sports. So being involved in it in a weird offhand way is really cool to me. So it is, again, I'm a naturally I love football and basketball especially, but being able to involve myself in that in some way, but use it in a way that's purposeful and not just in vain, like, oh, I'm a fanatic.
Yeah, definitely. So you said, I just clocked that you said you live in Philly now, right? That's Philadelphia, right?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're about an hour and a half south of New York City.
Right. Okay. I can almost picture that because when I think of the US, I end up putting California in the completely wrong place, and my geography with the US is not great, but no, I can definitely picture that in my head. So yeah, like you say, you live in Philly right now. And I think this moves us nicely onto your partnership with the Boys and Girls Club in Philly and the NBA Chaplains. So yeah, tell us a little bit about this. What was your involvement and just like how it's helped?
Yeah, so when I started Greater Than Me, I really wanted to find some key partnerships in the city that I could immediately funnel athletes into. So Boys and Girls Club was probably the biggest organization that serves kids in Philly that I wanted to utilize in a lot of the athlete partnerships. So Boys and Girls Club, I don't know if it's international, but it is all over the U.S., and the chapter here in Philly, they serve a little over 10,000 kids in the city of Philadelphia. And they're mostly children in underserved neighborhoods. Okay. So a lot of them fall underneath the poverty line. About a quarter of them are food insecure, and less than a quarter of them are at a proficiency reading level. So Boys and Girls Club really tries to support as many kids as they can in Philly. And not only with after school programs where they're being fed and they're being mentored in different subjects, but they're also trying to provide community events for them to be able to attend and just have a sense of community. Just recently, Boys and Girls Club launched a STEM program, which I think is really exciting.
Yes. Yeah, that is exciting.
I know. So they have been able to really focus a lot on math and science proficiencies and improving those proficiencies. I think in Philly, at least the last time I checked, only like 16% of grade school students in Philly are proficient in math and science. The program is just amazing. They're always fully stretched in what they're doing for the kids here in Philly and all over the country. There's a Boys and Girls Club chapter in almost every major city in the US. So they really are doing, and I know the owner well, him and his wife, and they just make a lot of sacrifices to try and support as many kids as possible. So I really wanted to have them be sort of at the top of my partnership list in having athletes come to them and be able to partner with them. And some of the things that we've done in the past, a few athletes will have football camps where they will have a lot of kids enroll here in Philly in a camp. And one of the athletes I remember told us Boys and Girls Club that they wanted to have like 100 free spots for their kids, because of course their kids wouldn't have been able to pay the large entry fee. And another thing that they do is just the athletes can mentor the kids. They can come to one of the facilities and just play pickup basketball or read a book or play PlayStation. So it gives the kids something to look forward to, and in their home life, there's not a lot of hope with some of the kids. So it's really cool that they can have something to look forward to and also be excited about, and just give them a little bit of purpose in their day. That's sort of what I try and do with them. It's always different for each athlete. But for the NBA and NFL chaplains, I got really close with one of the NBA chaplains, the Knicks chaplain in New York, and our basketball team here, the Sixers. Both our chaplains are really, really great guys. They support the team more on a spiritual level, on a mental, emotional level. Mm-hmm. They both have their own ministries that they do outside of the teams, but I like to be able to touch base with them every now and then and see if, are there any athletes that you're working with personally on your basketball teams that you think would be a good fit for a Boys and Girls Club mentorship or something like that?
No, that's honestly so, so, so cool. And it must just be so rewarding, you know, like for these kids, seeing them develop, seeing them, you know, become happier and look forward to these events and get involved. And it must just be just really nice to see.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. When I've gone into the city and met up with the people that run the whole club, and when you see what they're doing with your own eyes, it's so hard to not feel burdened for them. And you just want to take that with you and shout it out to all the athletes, you need to come help these kids, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good. I try and get the athletes to come and see it for themselves. So they experience it more than me just telling them, hey, here's another thing that you can be involved in, you know, type of thing. So it's really great what they're doing. And I want to support them as much as I can.
Well, it sounds like you're doing an amazing job.
I try. The athletes, you know, sometimes can be a little busy during season or preseason, but some of them have been really, really great in wanting to give back to this club specifically. And because some of the athletes have stories of their own where they grew up and they had a Boys and Girls Club that they were involved in. And if they weren't involved in it, they don't know where they would be. So those personal stories are really, really cool. They want to give back to the organization that helped them.
Yeah, absolutely. So another, I think this links in quite nicely with like the next topic, but Bree has done a lot with Special Olympics and Night to Shine. So it's like, I know just from like watching Olympics and things what the Special Olympics is, but it'd be nice to see from like what you do on like your side and from your perspective. I'm not actually that familiar with Night to Shine. So just tell me a little bit about what you do for those.
Yeah, absolutely. They both Special Olympics and Night to Shine serve the same community, people with special needs. And Special Olympics, for those of you who don't know what Special Olympics is, they provide year-round sports training and athletic competition for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. And when I say year-round, I mean they're year-round. They have probably 20 different sports that you can be involved in as an athlete. So for Special Olympics, I have been involved in a variety of different levels, but mainly as a coach. And it's fun because as a volunteer coach, you don't have to have experience with, say, coaching bowling. And I've coached bowling. it's really fun because the athletes take the competition really seriously. They're very competitive with each other. They are phenomenal people, super fun. They're hilarious. It changes every season. So some seasons it will be, okay, we'll coach basketball in the winter. In the spring, we'll do bowling. In the summer, we'll do weightlifting. So I've been able to coach a few different sports, and you start to get to know the athletes really well, because a lot of them are involved in a lot of the sports.
Do you have a favorite, sorry, not to interject, a favorite sport that you like coaching?
Oh man, I played basketball all through my life until I was, 20 in college. So I would say basketball, because I actually have that skill set with some of the others. I definitely did not. So I think basketball is, because you're teaching a lot of the skill set with ball handling and how to shoot, and just, you have to work with a team. It's not an individual sport like track and field would be. So that's really exciting. I really like teaching or coaching basketball, and weightlifting is the other fun one because my degree is in kinesiology. So again, that's something that I actually have some knowledge.
Yeah,
help a little bit with the weight training. So yeah, those two are probably my favorite. But they're all really, really fun, honestly, because they all have really big personalities, and a lot of the athletes, just this is their favorite time of the week, is coming in and practicing. And so yeah, it's cool to be a part of that. Yeah. But Night to Shine actually has been around for a couple of years, and it was started by a former NFL quarterback. His name is Tim Tebow. And he wanted to create an event that mimicked a prom, and he wanted it to be a prom for people with special needs. So I think everyone over the age of 14, so it's kids and adults, adults up into their 60s are attending prom. And it's really fun because it's a really well-run event. There are red carpets, limo rides, everybody dresses up in gowns and tuxes. And it's all over the world. It's not just here in Philly. There's Night to Shine nights in Germany and Spain and the Philippines and Kenya. So I'm just a volunteer. I'm a buddy for... you get partnered with somebody with special needs that comes and dances with their friends. So it's really just a night of dancing. And basically you're at a prom the whole time, and there's a band with music. And it's really fun because a lot of this community doesn't get to participate in a prom, like their own prom. And it's just a cool event for them to be able to experience that. Yeah, again, it's an event that they look forward to every year. During COVID, unfortunately, we couldn't be in person for 2 years. So this past year was the first time in 2 or 3 years that we could be in person doing this.
Yeah.
And these people were like, we want to dance. It's been years. Let's just get crazy, on the dance floor. So again, super fun. It's honestly my favorite night of the year.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And I've just remembered, actually, I'm sure I saw that in LinkedIn. Because you would have posted about it, right?
Yes, I think I did. Yep. I want people to see that it's, because I think sometimes, especially with this population group, some people get nervous with volunteering with people with special needs, but they're just like everybody else. And I want people to not be as intimidated maybe with serving their community. So I try and post about it just to maybe motivate or encourage some people that might want to be involved to take that step.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So I know you've done a lot with some previous companies that you've worked for. So you've created, I was about to say philanthropic, and then realized I maybe can't actually pronounce that word, and different fundraising initiatives. I think that would lead nicely on what you'd like to do as part of VeriMed as well. So yeah, do you want to take us through some of the different things that you've done in the past?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first experience I had with this was probably around 10 years ago, when I was living in New York. We were hit with a hurricane, Hurricane Sandy, which is unprecedented because New York never is hit by hurricanes. So the city was very underprepared to have this natural disaster hit. So there was a lot of honestly, hundreds of thousands, if not a million people were without power
Oh,
in
geez.
the New Jersey, New York area. So my company at the time was headquartered in New York, and we were impacted, but a lot of us lived in areas that weren't as impacted. And I was like, you know what? It'd be really cool to rally the colleagues together. We had hundreds of people that worked for the company. And I was like, we should do something to help those that were displaced. There were people that were living, like elderly people that were living in 100-story buildings without power. So they couldn't use the elevator to get down and get groceries. So I was able to come up with a couple of initiatives to just help in the city where we could. And that was my first experience with having, creating sort of a philanthropic arm of the company completely outside of what the company did. It was really awesome, and it sort of laid the groundwork for my passion. At every company that I've been a part of, I've tried to establish some sort of charitable initiative within that organization. And a lot of times it would be a fundraising event, like a run, a 5K, or like a dinner, a fundraising dinner. And it would be for all different types of communities. So what for one company, we fundraised for veterans, for war veterans, and for first responders, police officers. And it's just something that I like to do, and bringing the community together for the same cause. And when I was joining Verimed, it was exciting because Verimed already has a philanthropic arm of the company, and the whole foundation of our values and what we find important with each other, with working with clients, is part of our B Corp. And I really, really was attracted to that when I was looking at joining the company, and I was excited that, wow, this is already established. I don't have to create it, and I can just come to the table with my ideas. So when I first started at Verimed, I was the only person here in the US, but I knew that we would grow pretty rapidly. And I wanted to take what Verimed has done so well the last 10 years over in the UK and in Europe, and bring that here to the US for our US team to be able to participate in those sorts of philanthropic initiatives. And I'm really excited for some of the stuff that we have around the corner that we're going to be starting here for the US team. So
Is there anything, can
cool.
you give us like a sneaky peek as to like what you've got around the corner? Are you allowed to say or?
I think so one of the things living here in Philly, there's another team member that lives here in Philly, and there's a lot of just our industry, there's a lot of biotech pharma in this area. And we're talking about coming together, all of us, in doing a charitable initiative for a STEM related program. Obviously, Boys and Girls Club is my my biased opinion, but we're thinking about doing a potentially, I don't know if you know what cornhole is, but a cornhole tournament. It's a kind of like a yard game where you're tossing beanbags into
Yeah,
like
no, that sounds fun.
I don't know if it's popular at all over in Scotland, but we've been talking about doing something like that, and all proceeds would go towards a STEM related initiative. So yeah, that's something that we're working on. We're looking at locations and food trucks and different ways to make that work. And a lot of people in our industry are wanting to do something like that in the community, and using our knowledge and what we do in STEM and serving those that are are initiating STEM related programs and things like that in our area. So that's what we're kind of looking at in the future in the next few months. So definitely.
That's really cool.
Yes, we'll give you more information when we have a date and all the details are in place.
Interesting. I know that is really cool, because I mean, like, these kids, they're our future, right? And
exactly,
we need to make sure that we are, you know, helping them along and doing whatever we can to ensure that they get a good shot at these things and get these opportunities, you know.
Yes, 100%.
And I think, like, one of the other things that I know Vermed has done, like, we'll go and speak at universities and things. Is that something that's in the pipeline as well? Because I'm sure we've done that in the past, but I don't know, like, I don't really know if that's something, like, in the future. Like, maybe speaking in schools as well. Like, I know a few people have went into schools, but is that something that you plan on doing as well?
Yes, I have actually talked to, I've spoken with a couple of the different women in the B Corp hives. Mm-hmm. I think Emily Tasman, and talked a little bit about the Inspire program that Vermed's already doing.
Yep.
We're going into schools and talking about STEM careers and opportunities for that. It is something that we want to start here in the US, where we have our statisticians and programmers going into different schools and different STEM programs and mm-hmm. talking about opportunities that they could have in the STEM industry. But I think that we've discussed having some of that in Philly. We looked at universities, but also secondary schools as well. Mm-hmm. And when kids are still trying to figure out what they want to go to college, university for. And that's a really good age to have these conversations. And
for sure.
So, I mean, it's exciting to be able to answer questions and be a part of that program. So eventually we do really want to have a U.S. branch of the mm-hmm. Inspire program and be able to do that in all the cities that we have our programmers and statisticians.
Yeah, no, that is really cool. And I think for when you're at school, I think, like, when you do, like, maths and things, maybe computing science, you probably think that your route is going to be some sort of financial thing, you know? So I think it's nice, like, having these initiatives that show you, or, you know, like, show these kids that there's other, like, really amazing things that you can do with having a STEM background that's not necessarily like finance. Like, you can go into clinical trials, you can go into pharma in loads of different ways. And yeah, it's just about showing that you can use your skills for, you know, loads of different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know, because I'm such a science geek, I'm more on the anatomy side of things, but I didn't know in college that this was even an opportunity that you could work in clinical trials and use science. And even not just with the programming and the stats work that we do, but just in general, our industry mm-hmm. as a whole, there's so many opportunities to be involved. So it's exciting to educate the younger community on opportunities that they have and being a part of creating medicine. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. So
I know it's,
you know, how rewarding is that?
Very, 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 very. And I think that's a really nice way to end our podcast today. So I just want to thank you so, so, so much for coming on and talking to me today about all this amazing charitable work that you have done and that you're continuing to do as well. I feel like there's just no stopping you.
No, I appreciate it. It's honestly, it's not about me. I just want to be able to utilize the time I have here to just give back and be purposeful, and I wouldn't be where I am without people helping me. So it's a pleasure to just be a part of these different communities, and it's fun to talk about it and get people maybe excited or motivated to do something similar.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm feeling, you know, really inspired just listening to all these all these things that you've done, and I can't wait to see what's in the pipeline and what else is going to be happening at Verimed. So it's all very, very exciting.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for listening to this podcast. If you would like to be notified for any future episodes, please subscribe to us on Spotify, iTunes, or, you know, whichever podcast platform you're using. And if you would like to know more about Verimed itself, please visit our website at verimed.co.uk. Or you can also find us on LinkedIn, and you'll be able to find Bree and myself and other colleagues as well. If you have any questions about Verimed, please feel free to reach out to us on LinkedIn. We are always happy to help. You can also find us on YouTube and Instagram at We Are Verimed. So yeah, finally, thank you all so much for listening, and until next time, I will see you all later.